The scripture today comes from Luke, verse 2, 8 through 14. Hear now the word of God. The shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a magnitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." May God bless the reading of his word.
And I invite you to pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, as we've all heard already, the clock is ticking. Two more days, two more shopping days till Christmas. And out of curiosity, how many of you are planning on going out shopping, either online or out, today or tomorrow? How many of you are planning on going out? Oh, I'm really in the vast minority. Well, if you are waiting, I'm sorry to say you're cutting it close, but I want to provide a little bit of help this morning. Something arrived in my mailbox a couple of weeks ago. It was a catalog, and I know that's not shocking because this time of year, you go to the mail, everybody's got catalogs, but this is a catalog that showed up. It's a catalog from a company called Hamaker Schlemmer. You ever heard of this? Okay, again, I'm in the dark. I never heard of it. I never ordered anything from this catalog. I don't even know why they sent me the catalog, so I retrieved it from the mailbox and was going to deposit it immediately into the recycling bin. But I walked into the kitchen, and I put the mail down, and I had a cup of coffee, so I sat down to drink the coffee, and I started flipping through this thing. And as some of you obviously know, there are gold mine of ideas in this Christmas catalog. So I'm going to give you some gift suggestions if it's the last minute and you're looking for something, only if you promise not to order it during the worship service, okay? So here's the first gift, if you're looking for a gift for a kid. The motorized dirt digger. This is an actually ride motorized mechanical backhoe. And I don't know if you can see, I don't think you can see, there are three little levers on there that when you move them, they do the same articulated motions that a real backhoe would do. It moves the backhoe from side to side, in and out, up and down. That thing goes about 2.5 miles an hour, and again, I don't know if you can see it, but there is a headlight on that thing. And that's a real bonus, because if Junior's getting on your nerves, you can send him out in a sandbox, and he can just do that till midnight or till it's bedtime. And the best thing about it, the thing only costs $390. Too much? Now, maybe you're looking for something for a loved one who needs to clean the clutter in the closet. So here, this is a 25-pair shoe tower, 5 different levels, easy retrieval, easy storage. That thing turns 360 degrees, and you can imagine how that would clean up your closet. Just put it in the corner, and the best news is it's just $280. It was made specifically for Hamaker Schlemmer. And I know what some of you are thinking, Pastor Tim, that's wonderful, but my loved one who needs to clean the closet clutter needs two of those, so that's a lot of money. Now, the last thing is for the person who has everything. That person that you always think, I need to get something unique, and this is it. It is a Rolling Stones autographed guitar. Oh, yes, it's real. This is a guitar that they autographed before they started out way back when on the Start Me Up tour, and it's genuine. Witnesses witness the signatures. There's a certificate of authenticity, and everybody's on there, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Ron Wood, Charlie Watts, And so you can have this for $3,900. So you got to ask yourself, how much do I love this person? Christmas gift ideas. It's interesting trying to rack your brain for the people you love, and you want to get something that's meaningful for them, but you're not quite sure what. And sometimes somebody gives you the gift that's just perfect, that it makes your Christmas. And wouldn't Christmas be wonderful this year if what you were really hoping for, somebody understood and gave it to you? Wouldn't that be a perfect Christmas? Maybe. But Bishop Kenneth Shamblin tells a story. Methodist Bishop Kenneth Shamblin told a story of something that happened to his younger son years ago on Christmas Day. His son was, at the time, was about 5 years old. And right after Thanksgiving, his son started on what he wanted for Christmas. And it was just one thing. It was this medium-sized red toy truck. And he told his parents that's what he wanted. And he looked in the catalog and showed it to them. When they went to the department store, he dragged them over and said, "This is it." He wrote to Santa about it. He even prayed about it. "Lord, I need that red toy truck." So you can imagine how excited he was on Christmas morning when he comes down to the tree and opens the package, and there's that red toy truck. It's exactly what he wanted. He played with it all morning, took a break for lunch, played with it. That was praying for the truck. He played with it all afternoon. Dinner time came. He was in his glory. He had gotten what he wanted. After dinner, Ken Sr. got the book that his wife had got him for Christmas. And he said, "I'm going to sit down in the easy chair and read a couple of chapters." And he just gets started in the book when he hears his son crying in the other room. Yeah, that's strange. So he marks his place in the book, sets it aside, and gets ready to go up and see what's wrong with his son. But his son had run into the room, and he was standing next to his father's chair with tears streaming down his face. In one hand, he had the red toy truck. In the other hand, he had the wheels of the red toy truck. And with tears streaming down his face, he said, "Daddy, my Christmas is broken already." Can you relate to that? My Christmas is broken already. I suspect everybody has had that feeling. I describe it this way. It's that feeling that comes over you Christmas afternoon, late in the afternoon after you've gathered up all of the wrapping paper and shoved it into the trash can. You have the sweeper out to get the stray pine needles that are always coming down on the carpet. Maybe it's after dinner when you're doing the dishes and people are helping and everything's okay. The radio is playing Christmas carols, but then at 6 o'clock, 3WS and Wish 99.7 abruptly say, "Well, that's the end of Christmas carols for another year, and now it's 300 plus days of Kendrick Lamar and Bruno Mars 24/7. And so you look out of the snow that was there for Christmas morning and probably won't be for us, and you say, "Oh, that's a beautiful, we had a white Christmas." But now when you're looking out, doing the dishes, listening to Bruno Mars, you think, that snow looks dirty and dingy. And you know what? It's going to be this way until April. You ever had that feeling? I want to tell you this morning about a Christmas gift that will not break. I want to tell you about a Christmas gift that will never disappoint you. It's a Christmas gift that's been around for 2,000 years. And millions of people have been given this gift. It's been passed down generation to generation. It was first given on an evening in a Middle Eastern city called Bethlehem. And the amazing thing is, here it is 24,000 months later, and we're 6,000 miles away from Bethlehem, but that gift is still available today in unlimited quantities. It's available here in Pittsburgh, in Paris, in Pyongyang, in Peoria. And the best thing about this gift is it not only changes the recipient of the gift, but as I speak, it's now changing the world. Are you interested? Dr. Luke tells us about that gift this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Messiah, Savior. Matthew calls him Emmanuel, and since we don't know Hebrew, he does us the favor of saying that means God with us. Matthew tells us that the angel informed Joseph that you should name that child Jesus, because Jesus means God saves. Unto you, shepherds, here it is. And it's not surprising that the first thing the shepherds do is go immediately to Bethlehem to see it. Because the angel said, "Today I have good news of a great joy for you." And I want to ask you a favor. I want you this morning not to let those words just pass peacefully over your ears because you know it so well and the Christmas story is so familiar. But when you hear the angel say, "Today I bring you good news of a great joy," I want you to imagine what that sounded like to the shepherds in the first century, in their particular time and place. Consider, for example, that the average life expectancy at the time of Jesus' birth was 35 years. Consider that there's no MedExpress right around the corner, and even if there was, it wouldn't be of much help because there's no antibiotics or modern medicine, which means that if you got a simple scratch or a common cold, you could die. Consider that the shepherds are probably living hand to mouth. And shepherding was not exactly the greatest occupation. Consider that it would be unusual if they bathed at least once a week. And consider that there's no 401k, no retirement plan, no Social Security, no Medicare, no Medicaid. So when they heard there is good news of a great joy, and consider this. Perhaps the worst of their situation is that they are living in their beloved homeland, occupied by a foreign army of a country they detest. So if somebody comes up to you and says, "I have good news of a great joy," you understand why you're getting up and you're going to go check that out. So I ask you this morning to consider your situation when you hear those words here in 2018. "I bring you good news of a great joy." And consider your situation right now. Consider where we are. In this country, last year, 40,000 people died from gunshot wounds. That's a 50-year all-time high. The suicide rate in this country over the last 15 years has increased 24%. And the latest statistics are 2016, more than 45,000 people took their own lives. Consider that the wealth inequality gap is double today what it was in the Roman Empire, that the top 1% of the richest people in this country will make more in capital gains this year. That's just from, you know, like interest on dividends and investments and things they can rent. They will make more in income from capital than we will spend as a country on Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Consider where we are. There are 45 million people in this country who are below the poverty line. Anybody want some good news of a great joy? And that's just out there, right? That's not in here. The bad news is, in here, there's nothing that's changed in 2,000 years. We are still sinful, messy, broken people, and the world is a messy, broken place. We don't have to look out there. We can sit here in the pew and think to ourselves, as some have and I do on Sunday mornings, why can't I be the kind of person I want to be? Why can't I be the kind of person God wants me to be? Anybody want some good news of a great joy? And when I stand up here this morning and look out over the congregation, I'm struggling every Christmas because, as a pastor, I know that there are people in the pews here who have stood before an open grave this year and said goodbye to a loved one. I know that there are people in the pews here who are struggling with illness, some diagnosed, some not diagnosed, the outcome uncertain. Some here are struggling with chronic illness. I know that every year that there are people who say to themselves, if I hear it's the most wonderful time of the year one more time, I'm going to break that radio. Because they're in darkness, depressed, discouraged. Does anybody here want to hear some good news of a great joy? Anybody? The shepherds run right off, not surprisingly. And they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger, and they went to get their gift, and it's a free, priceless gift. And it's the perfect Christmas gift. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. I want to say one more thing about the shepherds. You know how I said a couple of minutes ago about you get to that point in Christmas Day or Christmas evening where it feels like your Christmas is broken. I want you to see what the shepherds felt when Christmas was over for them. We didn't read up to verse 20 in the text today, but I want us to read verse 20 here. This is from a common translation. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen just as it had been told them. Let that sink in. Now, I like, personally, the Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, and the way he paraphrases this verse. The sheep herders returned and let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything they had heard and seen, and it turned out exactly the way they'd been told. In Peterson's words, they went back and had a party. I don't know how shepherds party, but they did. They did. They let loose. It doesn't sound like somebody who's suffering from a Christmas breakdown, does it? And Martin Luther, I was reading this week some words about this particular passage. Martin Luther, when he came to this passage, the great reformer said, and I'll paraphrase, he said, wait a minute, this can't be true. The text should say they went back, they shaved their heads, they fasted, they said the rosary, they put on their cowls. But I can see Luther laughing when he says, but no. That's not what it says. It says they praised and glorified God. And so they took Jesus with them when they left the manger. And that scripture doesn't tell us, but we know it changed them. And the yeast and the mustard seed, and it's all growing and it's changing. They let loose. And somehow, some way, sometime, that's what we got to do this Christmas. I debated having a party this morning, but I thought, no, that's not appropriate. We'll have a party tomorrow night. We'll celebrate. And however you find that joy this Christmas, I hope you'll remember that that's the greatest gift, the gift of the birth of Jesus Christ, and it's going to change your life. It has, it will, now and into eternity. And sometimes the smallest thing brings that home to you. For me, a couple of years ago, it was a comma. Just a little comma changed my whole perspective one Christmas. I was making up a bulletin for a worship service at a personal care home. And we were going to sing a lot of Christmas carols. I know the residents like to sing Christmas carols. So I had the hymnal open, and I typed in one of the hymns. God rest ye, merry gentlemen. And I typed it in, God rest ye, comma, merry gentlemen. And then, after I was done putting them all in, I thought I better go back and check, spell check, and make sure I didn't make any mistakes. And I came to that hymn, and I looked at it in the hymnal, and I thought, the hymnal has this wrong, because the hymnal says, God rest ye, merry, comma, gentlemen. And I thought, oh, that's not right. Is it? Well, it's not in our hymnal, you can't check. But I got online and I started looking at it. And it's God Rest Ye Merry, comma, gentlemen. It turns out it's an antiquated carol in which they used the word Mary as an adverb, not an adjective. It's not the gentleman that should be Mary, it's the resting that should be Mary. It's the coming back and letting loose and saying, because of the coming of Jesus at Christmas, regardless of what we experience, be it good or bad, we can stand in front of an open grave, we can weather depression, we can find our way through thick and thin because of the birth of Jesus. It's a finger in the air that says, nevertheless, nevertheless, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray.